Many of you have heard about the fight for 15. That would be the $15 an hour living wage. Question is that enough to live on, really? One business author and longtime journalist has studied the issue and says it's not nearly enough to make ends meet in today's America. Rick Wortsman documents his findings in a new book. It's a case study of Walmart and its journey to raising wages to this range of $15. It is full of twists and surprises, but a company that has attracted a lot of criticism over time as far as its treatment of workers. The book is Still Broke, Walmart's Remarkable Transformation and the Limits of Socially Conscious Capitalism. And the author, Rick Wortsman, is with us now. Rick, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much. Great to be with you.
You were among the journalists, part of a team that won the Pulitzer for a series critical of Walmart back in 2004. You were an editor at the LA Times. There have also been documentaries on the subject.
Walmart is fighting legal battles with scores of former employees in 31 states, hourly workers who say the company has cheated them out of hundreds of millions of dollars in overtime pay. In Texas, it is estimated that they cheated workers out of up to $150 million in unpaid wages.
Now, more than a decade later, you dive back in to take another look. What do you learn about what's happening inside Walmart?
As you said, I was the business editor of the LA Times when my team took a deep dive into what we really described as the high human cost of low prices, including the low wages they pay to their frontline workers. And those workers, you know, really struggling to make ends meet and couldn't certainly support a family. So flash forward, starting in 2015, they began to raise wages. And I wanted to take a deep dive into why they were doing that and what was behind all that.
So as Walmart is deciding to raise wages, what are the key reasons?
Yeah, there was really a confluence of things. One was outside pressure, right? These unions, politicians, journalists, right? Pains with a pen, like my team, that had been at the LA Times and many others. The interfaith community, also really important. The nuns who show up at shareholders meetings and press for positive social change. All of these were factors leaning on Walmart. It makes it harder for Walmart to expand into certain urban areas. They were, over the years, denied access to different locations by city councils. And so it was having a business effect. The biggest thing, though, I think, is Walmart had cut their labor costs so close to the bone, starting in around 2011, really accelerating by 2013. Stores were dirty, shelves were bare, turnover was so high, the churn was so high, people just coming in the door and then quitting in a hurry. And so I think investing in workers became a business priority.
Hmm. Walmart's wages are now in this neighborhood of $15 an hour. And you have long suggested in your previous writings, Rick, that corporations can possibly be a lever for social change that control such a big piece of the economy. And yet the title of your book is Still Broke, that as much as Walmart has done or perhaps was forced to do, it's not nearly enough?
That's really where I came out. And I think you framed the bottom line really well. This is a company that when they began to raise wages in 2015, their average starting wage at the time was $7.65 an hour, barely over the federal minimum wage of $7.25. By the way, the federal minimum wage still today, and has been at that level since 2009. Yeah. So long, long overdue for an increase. But Walmart moved so that their average wage is $17.50 an hour. Mm. But here's the rub. When you look at that average Walmart worker, even at $17.50 an hour, that pencils out to less than $33,000 a year. And that's not a living wage, really, anywhere in the country. And that's sort of why I came to this conclusion that corporate America, if you look at Walmart, the biggest employer in the country, right? It's both a source of this problem and a symbol of something bigger. Corporate America will never move far enough or fast enough on its own.
Walmart is almost showing signs of getting there, and yet you say that's not enough for the vast majority of American workers?
Yeah, that's right. And what we're solving for, just to be clear, is the need to share the fruits of the nation's growing economy and growing productivity more broadly, right? To share economic prosperity more broadly. But again, when you just do the math, there's something that's just wrong. And I began to look across the economy and realized, you know, there are tens of millions of people, tens of millions of workers who get up every day, go to the job, do all the things they're supposed to do, and yet at the end of the month often face these really painful trade-offs because they are just struggling to make ends meet, right? Over the last 50 years, we've just dug a hole that is so deep as an economy, as a society, that, again, I think the Walmarts of the world and by extension, most of corporate America, they're approaching this too incrementally. And they're confined by the pressures of Wall Street, by their own business models and so on. They just are never going to go, as I said, far enough, fast enough. And so now I would lean more on the government side to try and help lift people up.
One third of the country? You just wonder how that strikes you, and if it does the way it strikes me. A third of the country makes less than a living wage for a family?
By my analysis and looking at a lot of different scholarly research, somewhere between 25% and 40% of the U.S. labor force really struggles to make ends meet. They are one, you know, blown carburetor, one missing days at work and falling behind on their bills from really spiraling into crisis. These are people who are, you know, often described as living precariously. They're really right on the edge. And I believe a living wage in this country is $20 an hour, which is maybe sounds shocking when our federal minimum wage is still at $7.25.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at it and you say, what does that translate on an annual basis? If you work full time, right, it's a little over $40,000 a year. That is not, in my mind, a lavish life anywhere. Good policy, I think, promotes family formation. And so when you get to $20 an hour, you begin to get to what I would call a family living wage, where two working adults with a couple of kids could actually support and sustain that family.
At the end of your book, Rick, you have this fascinating example of this $20 an hour appearing to work. I believe it's in Denmark where, you know, McDonald's workers make $20 an hour and it still works for the management. It still works for the corporation as well.
It does. Look, these are trade-offs. Again, the economy in this country has grown tremendously over the last 50 years. What has stopped happening is those gains are no longer shared broadly. They're almost all going to the top 1%. Most people have been left behind. They're not getting their fair share of putting in that labor. If you look at other societies, there is more broadly shared prosperity. Their shareholders get less. Corporations take lower profits. It doesn't mean they're not profitable, but there is less of an expectation that profit will be maximized, if you will, really at all costs.
What kinds of government intervention make sense to you?
The biggest thing, I think, and the most straightforward thing, is to mandate a living wage. Again, I call for $20 an hour. Again, we've dug such a deep hole and we can't do things incrementally anymore if we're really going to fix this wage crisis in this country. And I can already hear the critics. Would there be some job loss? Undoubtedly. There are issues of wage compression, right? What do you do with the folks who are already making $20? Suddenly the guy next to me who was at minimum wage is now making 20. Do I get a raise too? There's lots of pieces of this that would have to be carefully thought out and implemented. But the measure of good public policy is not, is it perfect? It's, will this benefit a lot more people than it harms? And I believe that going to a true, genuine living wage in this country would be a huge benefit for way more people than would be hurt.
The book is Still Broke: Walmart's Remarkable Transformation and the Limits of Socially Conscious Capitalism. And the author is Rick Wartzman. Rick, thanks for the time.
Hey, thank you so much.